It may seem when you read through Judges that when you get to the end that it gets kind of confusing and kind of anticlimactic, but what you see at the end of Judges is that these people seem to finally understand the need for the Lord to save. And, of course, the problem at the end of Judges is the same as at the beginning. It's highlighted in verse 25. It says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And I'm telling you today, in our land, in our world, there are a lot of people, they do not have a king. Jesus ought to be their king. He's our king, amen? And you know, I don't have to say what is the right thing to do. I can go to my king and he'll tell me what I need to do or what I shouldn't do. And so many more things. It's not just a matter of command, although the commands are wonderful, but it's also a matter of strength and encouragement and provision and answered prayer. But in the absence of the guidance of a king, everyone's got an opinion, and most of them are wrong. In fact, almost all of them are wrong. So if you were here last week, you remember Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin, had been judged in battle, in war. They had been judged, and almost all of them had been killed. And they had apparently, killed many of the women as well, so that the very few surviving members of the tribe of Benjamin did not have wives, and therefore they could not continue the tribe. And the problem was made worse by the fact that the Israelites had sworn that none of them would give their daughters to Benjamin to be a wife, and if they did so, that they would be cursed. And that's an interesting study, by the way, cursing and blessing. Wouldn't you hate to be cursed? Wouldn't you love to be blessed? Read that. Do a word study on the word bless and the word curse sometime. I was dabbling with that a little bit today. And there are a lot of reasons to be encouraged when you study why and when God blesses us. And there's some things to avoid if you want to avoid being in that other category. Psalm 1 is a good place to start reading if you want to study that. But anyway, they said if we give our wives to Benjamin, then we're going to be cursed. And that's at the end of verse 18. And so now what are they going to do? And let me read the passage with you, and I'll show you what they do, and we'll kind of go through this. This shouldn't take too long, but it's really interesting. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word, please. And I'll read Judges chapter 21, verses 16 through 25, and have a word of prayer. The Bible says in Judges 21, beginning in verse 16, then the elders of the congregation said, how shall we do for wives for them that remain, seeing that women are destroyed out of Benjamin? And they said, there must be an inheritance for them that be escaped of Benjamin, that a tribe be not destroyed out of Israel. Howbeit, we may not give them wives of our daughters, for the children of Israel have sworn, saying, cursed be he that giveth a wife to Benjamin. Then they said, behold, there is a feast of the Lord in Shiloh, yearly in a place which is on the north side of Bethel, on the east side of the highway that goeth up from Bethel to Shechem, and on the south of Labona. Therefore they commanded the children of Benjamin, saying, go and lie in wait in the vineyards, and see, and behold, if the daughters of Shiloh come out to dance in dances, then come ye out of the vineyards, and catch you every man his wife of the daughters of Shiloh, and go to the land of Benjamin. And it shall be, when their fathers or their brethren come unto us to complain, that we will say unto them, be favorable unto them for our sakes, because we reserve not to each man his wife in the war. For ye did not give unto them at this time that ye should be guilty. And the children of Benjamin did so, and took them wives according to their number of them that danced, whom they caught, and they went and returned unto their inheritance, and repaired the cities and dwelt in them. And the children of Israel departed thence at that time, every man to his tribe and to his family, and they went out from thence, every man to his inheritance. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. The end of the book of Judges. Let's have a word of prayer, please. Father, I pray you'd help us to see the simple but important application here tonight, and that we would understand that it does apply to us, and it's an interesting passage. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who left his glory and his home in heaven to come and to live on this earth and suffer and die for our sins. Thank you for Christians that leave their homes, their plans, their desires, and submit themselves to your service so that folks around the world can be saved. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see that there's a need that is great and that is worth our sacrifice. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, just quickly to review the story, there is a concern that Benjamin will be destroyed. And in this hour, when their destruction is seemingly imminent, there is a feast and dancing that is planned. And you can see that that might not be the most appropriate thing, but we won't get into that right now. Feasting, it's a feast unto the Lord, it says there. Let's see, what verse are we in there? In verse 19, he says, there is a feast of the Lord in Shiloh yearly. Feasting is enjoying the bountiful blessings of God. That's what we do at Thanksgiving, isn't it? As we cook too much food and eat too much food because we thank God for what he's done for us and for the provision he's given us. The dancing in the Bible is not the kind of dancing people do today. It was not mixed dancing. It was more of a carefree and happy thing. They were moved by the joy of the moment, and they would celebrate through dances. And it was just a time of happiness and being carefree. And this feast is planned in verse 19. It happens every year. And so the people that are trying to save the tribe of Benjamin see an opportunity. And I'm just going to tell you the story and then I'll apply it real quick. They say, you know what you need to do, Benjamin, is go down to this feast and hide, lie in wait. And when these young ladies come out and they're dancing, what you do is you catch some of them and you take them back to Benjamin. And now you're going to have wives. I do not recommend this plan today. Amen. This is not how you find a wife. But that's not the point. There is a good point here. You'll see it in just a minute. The Bible says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and it is wonderful to be married. And we've talked about that just recently, and I won't get into it again, but I will just say God gave us our spouse, and praise the Lord for his goodness. Amen? Amen. And for the young men here and the young ladies here, if there are any, I don't see one tonight, but young men that aren't married, pray that God gives you a godly spouse. It makes a huge difference. And so when you look at this situation here, it's a desire that Israel has to keep Benjamin from being destroyed. We would agree it doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem fair. These carefree, feasting young ladies are captured, and suddenly the life that they had planned and the things that they were anticipating are all gone, and now they have a new life ahead of them, a different life, and I'll tell you why in just a minute. After that, it's successful. And in verse 22, you have to read a couple of times to understand the whole verse. They anticipate some rejection of this plan, and when their fathers and their brothers come and say, and they complain, what have you done? Then what we will say to them is, be favorable. We made a mistake. We did not reserve these women when we were in war. They were slain. But understand this at the end of verse 22. You did not break your oath to God in verse 18. You said that you would be cursed if you gave a wife to Benjamin. But that's not what you've done here. They have been taken without your consent. And so the curse is avoided. Now, the real quick question, is there an application for this passage for you and for I? And I trust, I know what I'm about to tell you is the truth. I trust it is a fair application of this. I'm sure there may be others, but I think you'll see what I see here is very interesting. We need to ask ourselves a question, first of all. Let's just go back to this idea of feasting and dancing. Don't we live in a land and in a day when we enjoy plenty? I honestly, it's been a long time since I've seen somebody personally that I was acquainted with that was hungry because they could not get any food. I know there's some people out there like that, but it's just not a common thing. And especially in churches. And by the way, I guarantee you, if you knew somebody or if you were here, if somebody came into our midst and they didn't have enough food, we'd feed them. We live in a land where that can happen. You can't say that about just every land in our world. Lots of nations don't have the kind of plenty that we have. And again, the dancing is just a picture of being carefree. Now, it is possible, I'm not suggesting this, but it is possible in our land for a Christian to get a good job. Christians tend to be good employees, by the way. Christians tend to be honest. They tend to be hard workers. They tend to keep their promises and show up on time and not lie on their time cards and such. And Christians tend to be the best employees. And it is possible in our land for a Christian to get a good job, to have plenty, and to just enjoy life. Don't judge me yet. I'm not done. That's possible. That is the goal most people have. Lost people have that goal, don't they? Is the goal that most people have, I'm just saying population in general, lost and saved combined together, the goal that most people have is they would like to have plenty, they would like to have easy, they would like to have comfort, they would like to have pleasure and joy, they would like to have health and prosperity and enjoy their life. And the dancing, again, is just, it's a time when people would dance. It's when they're carefree. They're just happy. And they're looking forward to some things. And they don't have problems on the horizon or whatever. It's a moment when they're just enjoying life like many people do today. But I got to ask a question. Is the feasting and dancing more important than delivering those who are condemned to be destroyed? Is that feasting and dancing, is that part of life more valuable in this story than saving Benjamin? Because when you and I read this story, probably the first thing we think is, wait a minute, this is not right. These young ladies didn't want to do this. And these young ladies, that wasn't their plan for their life. And they have been robbed, if you will, of what they wanted. Right? But why? For what's undoubtedly a much higher cause. Let me stay with me. First of all, I think there's a picture of Christ here. The Lord Jesus Christ did not have to leave heaven and come save us. And folks, in heaven, the Bible says, one of the descriptions of heaven is that God's will is done in heaven. We talked about that just now. What troubles us when God's will is not done on this earth, when people reject God's will? It breaks my heart when I see people that don't even go to church. And that's a so simple thing to do to please God. Or people that won't read their Bible and pray. Or people that won't just be Christians. They're too busy to be faithful Christians. And that should not be. God's will is done in heaven, and Jesus enjoyed in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is God in every regard. And he is worshipped, and he's worthy of worship. And the Jehovah's Witnesses got it wrong. He's not a lesser God. He's God. He left all of that and came to what? You know, and I don't want to get too far along here. I'm going to run out of time. But you and I think we got it bad. Look at how they treated him. Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God that came. The Bible says he was despised and rejected. He was acquainted with grief. If you ever have grief in your life, Jesus had grief, and it grieved him, and he wept over the people and over their sin and over their rejection, and he was rejected. And if you've ever talked about being treated unfairly, they treated him unfairly. He did right and nothing but right, and they hated him. And it's just a picture of the way the devil works in the hearts of men. The Lord Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven to sacrifice his will, his comfort, if you will, his peace, so that we could be saved. Now, let's talk about these daughters, and I'm going to be out of time. I got about 5 minutes. Had it not been for the daughters of Shiloh losing their freedom in captivity, Benjamin would have been destroyed. And now here's a simple and practical application of that. Were it not, if it were not for the Christians, plural, that had plans for their life and could have feasted and danced and had an easy life, if it were not for the Christians that forfeited that so that they could serve God, many souls would die and go to hell. Someone says, it's just not fair. Well, I don't know where we got the idea that the world had to be fair. The fact of the matter is, it is not fair for somebody to die and go to hell because we're so concerned about our ease and comfort that we won't take time to tell them. Amen? You say it's not fair that the daughters of Benjamin, of Shiloh had to lose what they lost. Why don't we look at the other side of that and look what they gained? They became the mothers of the tribe of Benjamin. And folks, God doesn't tell us a detailed story of each of these young ladies, but I guarantee you, when you forfeit your dancing and your feasting and you pick up what God gives you, there's a lot more value in that than in this. Amen? And the trouble is, people are deceived and they believe that that's all life is about. Well, if I'm feasting and dancing, life must be great. No, it's like I said earlier tonight, when you get to be in your 60s and 70s and you can't dance anymore because your legs don't work right and you can't feast anymore because you blow up like a balloon, and you start asking yourself, what was my life all about, feasting and dancing, or was it about serving God? Amen? Let's serve God. I'm not going to get on a hobby horse, but I got to mention it one more time. What's more important than being in God's house? Well, Pastor, I need to make a dollar. That's feasting and dancing. We need to be where God wants us to be. There are souls at stake. It doesn't seem fair at first glance, but it was a wonderful thing that these young ladies lost that freedom and their captivity had a greater purpose, that Benjamin was saved. It might not seem fair, but something far more important was at stake. They were taken as an important part of God's plan to preserve Benjamin. They gained a life which had much more value than the one that they dedicated to the pleasure of the moment. And for all eternity, God will reward you for your sacrifices. Amen? So, it's a beautiful picture. It's a picture of a lot of people today in two regards. Those that are deceived into thinking that that's all that matters is the feasting and the dancing. But more so, I praise the Lord for those people that have said, wait a minute. And we have them in our church, missionaries that have decided to go to Honduras, or I got an email today to some fellow who was going to Taiwan, or to the Navajo Reservation, or wherever, and they've said, nope, I'm not going to have the American dream, the house and two cars and the 3 weeks of vacation every year and the kids in a private school and all that. I'm not going to have that. I am going to serve God with my life because there's something more important than feasting and dancing. Amen? I hope we see it that way. In eternity, these young ladies aren't going to come back and say, man, I missed the dance. They're going to come back and they're going to say, God used me to save a nation, to save a tribe, to save a nation. God used me to accomplish his will. It's a lot more important. In eternity, there will be plenty of feasting. I haven't read about dancing in heaven yet, but there will be lots of happiness. And it will be a carefree place. But it would be sad to miss the opportunity in this life to forfeit some of that, all of that if necessary, so God can use us to reach souls. Amen? What's our life going to be about? Feasting and dancing or let God use us to keep people from destruction? The answer is obvious. Amen? Let's all stand and